Last month, when I interviewed ornithologist Don Kruidsma about his wonderful new book, Birdsong for the Curious Naturalist, we talked a bit about the splendid bird that has become an ecological scourge here in America. My son had a pet starling named Mortimer for many years, and I love their song. So even as I hate their presence here for the problems they pose to cavity nesters, such as red-headed woodpeckers and bluebirds, I can't help but be fond of the individuals.
Oh, people love to hate starlings, and I can understand that. Oh, they're blamed for the decline of some of our cavity nesting birds, but if you just listen to a starling or look at one closely, they're quite stunning to look at too with all that iridescence. But if you listen to a starling, oh, I think back to an experience I had underneath a Florida palm tree. The parabola was aimed up into the tree, and I swore I had a whole flock of birds up there doing various things. I took the headphones off, looked around, listened. No, it was just one starling that was doing all this and totally befuddled me. But so they mimic, yes, but it didn't dawn on me until I started looking at some of the sonograms of these songs, what they were doing. There's an example in the book, 343, where an eastern male is simultaneously mimicking. When I say simultaneously, he has a left voice box and a right voice box, as do all these songbirds. And with the left voice box, he's mimicking one species, and with the right voice, simultaneously, the other. And it's an eastern phoebe and a northern flicker. And immediately after that, he's got sandhill crane and the black-capped chickadee, two bugles of the sandhill crane and the black-capped chickadee. And those also are simultaneous with the other voice box producing standard clicks and chortles of European starlings.
The recording Don referred to, which you're listening to right now in the background, is from the companion website to his book, where you can listen to or even download an amazing assortment of bird songs at www.birdsongforthecurious.com. When I was starting out as a birder, I discovered how often starlings imitate eastern wood pewees and eastern meadowlarks.
Yes, those are the nice, slow, sliding whistles that the starling often begins his song with. After that slow introduction, you're totally unprepared for the energy that's going to follow and the frantic finale where he's waving his wings and throwing his entire body into the song. So he's something to watch as well as listen to. Then there's recording 343. That's of an eastern male. Well, the western birds, western starlings, well, they mimic western birds, of course. They don't have any of the eastern species. And I have another example of a western bird where it is amazing all the birds that he is mimicking in one song. And I list them here in the book, page 76. Long-billed curlew, California quail is just beautiful. Tree swallow, Pacific tree frog, a Wilson snipe winnow, another long-billed curlew, a killdeer. And then, for me, the climax, simultaneously mimicking a house sparrow and sandhill crane. two species that are opposite ends of the spectrum of birds that we just cherish. It's as if he's doing this just to spite us. And then an American robin song, and then ending it with a blackhound night heron about 35 seconds into the song. So you have to be up close to starlings to appreciate them, and all the better if you've got a parabolic reflector aimed right at the bird and you hear all these priceless little details that he's rolling out onto you.
Those individual starlings have no idea whatsoever that they belong on another continent entirely. They and their songs have been fully Americanized. Some recent studies have shown that starlings have not caused a decline in at least some cavity nesters, such as flickers, so they're not quite as bad as we used to believe and are a lot more interesting than most of us like to admit. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.